Brothers and sisters, St. Basil the Great said that the mark of a Christian is to watch hourly and to stand prepared in the state of total responsiveness, pleasing to God. In other words, we must constantly be looking for and responding to God. This theme is certainly seen in our gospel today. Jesus instructs his disciples to gird their loins. And this, of course, is the same instruction that the Lord gave to Moses and Aaron regarding the Passover. The Passover was to be eaten with loins girded, sandals on feet, and staff in hand, symbolizing a physical and spiritual alertness on behalf of God's people. Similarly, in our gospel, Christ is telling us to be alert and prepared at all times. We are to be his servants awaiting our master's return. And this means that we must prepare ourselves to receive the master. As we all know from experience, there's great joy in receiving a long-awaited visitor. We all enjoy when the master returns. But before we can take delight in receiving a visitor, there's a lot of preparatory work that needs to be done. Homes need to be cleaned, food prepared, etc. Furthermore, there never seems to be enough time to get everything done to perfection. So we often find ourselves working up to the very last minute when our company finally arrives. Well, the same is true of our spiritual life. As Christians, we're a people who are awaiting the return of Christ. Yet even as we await his return, we know that we have work to do, that none of us is totally ready to receive him. And so we must be vigilant in tending to the work that needs to be done. For as Jesus warns us, we don't know precisely when he will come. But when he does come, we want him to find us hard at work, diligently preparing our home for the master's return. You know, the danger, of course, is that the longer we wait, the easier it becomes for us to get lulled into a false sense of accomplishment or security. We may think that we've done a good enough job, and therefore we decide to take the day off. But as one of my seminary professors used to always preach to us, your day off is not a day off from prayer. And indeed, this seems to be Jesus' point in the gospel today. While we take a rest from our earthly labors, we never take a rest from our discipleship. We must continuously be about the business of preparing for Christ's return. We must be found hard at work until the moment that we die. And this, of course, means that we can't give in to the false temptation of believing that we've already done enough, the temptation that seems to trap many people. I frequently hear people speak of their spiritual life almost as if it were their retirement savings. And by this I mean that people feel that they've stored up enough in the bank to last them through retirement, and therefore they can take a break from their work. And this attitude is seen, for example, when somebody will say that they're going to forego Mass this week so that they can go golfing because they've been to Mass every week for the past 40 years, and so they've banked enough grace. You know, such an attitude, of course, is misguided. Not only is missing Mass grave matter for sin, but it also implies in this mindset the notion that I'm totally prepared spiritually, that I don't need to do more, and therefore I can rest. You know, a more honest attitude would acknowledge that while retirement lasts for, you know, a few decades at most, heaven lasts forever. And therefore we need to store up enough treasure to carry us through eternity. Or put another way, when Jesus does return, we don't want him to find us imitating Tiger Woods on the golf course when we should be at Mass imitating the saints. Now, lest all of us become too comfortable because we're all obviously here at Mass and not out on the golf course, Jesus' interaction with Peter should rattle us as well. Peter asks, for whom this parable was intended? The apostles or everyone? In addressing Peter's concern, Jesus acknowledges that the one whom the master finds hard at work, doing his job, so to speak, will be blessed indeed. But then, so as not to lure the apostles into a false sense of security, Jesus adds this: the servant who knew his master's will, but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will, shall be beaten severely. And the servant who is ignorant of his master's will shall be beaten only lightly. Friends, I think it's important for us to hear this, as it reminds us not to become comfortable simply because we believe ourselves to be following God's will more closely than other people. The stakes are raised higher for those who know God's will. You know, so often we tend to think of God as a type of college professor who grades on a curve. And we say to ourselves, well, you know, sure, I could be doing more, but there's so many people doing a lot worse than I. And we begin to feel comfortable in our spiritual lives. Friends, when you become comfortable in your spiritual life, there's a good chance you're doing something wrong, because there's always work that needs to be done. Rather than viewing God as a college professor who grades on a curve, perhaps we should view God in the way that he revealed himself to us, as Father. Fathers don't evaluate their children vis-a-vis everybody else in the world. Fathers evaluate their children against the child's potential. You know, growing up, my dad used to constantly tell me that he didn't care what everybody else was doing. He cared what I did. And in doing so, my dad was telling me that his expectations of me weren't based on what everybody else was doing, but rather on how well I was living up to my potential. And this is the same thing that Jesus is instructing his disciples. In doing so, Jesus is rejecting the attitude of mediocrity and calling us to a spiritual excellence. He's not lowering the bars that we can just simply step over it lazily. Rather, he's raising the bar so that we can reach new heights, heights that we thought were impossible to achieve. And herein lies the transforming power of the gospel. The good news is that our Father wants us to reach our full potential. He doesn't give us our commands so that he can benefit from our serving him. God doesn't need us. He gives us his commands so that we don't settle for mediocrity, but strive to reach our fullest potential. In other words, God's commands call us to excellence. Therefore, we need to reject mentalities that settle for mediocrity, mentalities that cling to the false notion that we've already accomplished enough, that we've already done enough for God. Instead, we need to be people who aspire to new levels of greatness. Like athletes who are continually striving to break records, we must always raise the bar and seek to accomplish even greater feats. For God is calling us to excellence. God is calling us to reach our fullest potential, to use our unique gifts and talents in the concrete situations of our daily lives. Thus, we must gird our loins so as to be ready to act the moment that we hear God call. We must be his servants, vigilantly at work, who await the Master's return. We must, as St. Basil the Great observed, watch hourly, standing prepared in the state of total responsiveness to God. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all whom the Master finds doing his will.